Track 7, The Garden Untamed. In his latest book, The Accidental Garden, acclaimed nature writer Richard Mabie explores the creativity and ingenuity of plants, insects, birds and animals.
Garden Untamed. In a career spanning 50 years, writer Richard Mabie has educated, entertained and delighted readers with his knowledge and experience of the wonders of the natural world. Now aged 83 and less active and mobile than he once was, his passion and enthusiasm for the environment remain unabated, and he's drawn on his home in Norfolk to inspire his latest study of the creativity and ingenuity of plants, insects, birds and animals. "I can't walk great distances anymore," he says, so he'll step outside of his 16th century thatched cottage each afternoon to wander around his garden, walking stick in hand. "The stick's useful for holding back undergrowth and taking a closer look at something of interest," he says, "and it is also a good prop as he pauses and ponders on all the activity around him." "We regard gardens as a personal dominion," he says, "where we can create whatever world we desire, but they're also occupied by myriads of other organisms, all with their own lives to lead. The conflict between the two power bases is indicative of what is happening in the larger world, and this is what he explores in his new book. Called The Accidental Garden, this beautiful, concise collection of thoughts, anecdotes, fascinating facts and musings urges us to become a partner with nature rather than its controller. The garden is a classic example of where people say they're reconnecting with nature," he says, "but what they're actually doing is re-establishing control. Even with wildlife gardens, they say, we'll put the pollinator-friendly flowers there and we'll build a place for insects there, so it's still us in control. Something quite different emerges when you say, I'll step back. It's like parents struggling to allow their children to leave home," he continues. "We are the same way with plants. We feel we are responsible for them in some ways, but this is a delusion. We've got a visitor in our garden who's a guest. Let's be hospitable towards it, but let's see what it wants to do. I think we'll get very surprising results. I wanted to write about nature being allowed to decide its own agenda," he says, of approaching the book. "But I knew that writing about it in a purely theoretical way would be indigestible, and I wasn't in a position any longer to go on vast research trips." He was further inhibited by the pandemic, of course, but taking his regular exercise at home heightened his appreciation of all there was to see on his doorstep. Strolling through the grasses and saplings, pausing beside the ancient pond and mature trees, and watching the ants carry seeds and the birds in their nests. "What set the tone for the book," he says, "was the 2022 heat wave. I remember the night when we had a record temperature of nearly 40 degrees. After keeping all the doors and windows shut all day to try and keep cool, it felt claustrophobic, and at midnight I opened the door to let the night in. I heard this astonishing sound of the dark bush cricket singing in the hollyhocks. It seemed such a symbol, both of the resistance of the natural world against everything that was being thrown at it, and also a lovely tale of hope to begin the book. Having moved to this house just outside Diss in 2002, Richard and his partner came to an understanding on what they should do with the land surrounding the cottage. She wanted to cultivate it for flowers and food. He wanted it to be left wild. As a compromise, they constructed a walled garden for Polly to grow vegetables and fruit, and roses and Mediterranean plants were in beds near her back door. Beyond those areas, Richard would let the garden do what it wanted. When we came here, there was a lawn mown every weekend and there were a few trees. But what we've managed to tease into existence is flowery grassland, which I have cut once a year. There are all kinds of drastic ways of getting flowery meadows that involve weed killer and scraping off the top 6 inches of soil, but I just let it go. Now there are 75 species of birds and 25 species of butterflies in the garden, and I've got a plant list of 80 species growing there. In May, it's completely covered with cowslips. He's also delighted by the trees that have grown here, pointing out a colony of elm clones. I've been allowing natural regeneration. Though, of course, the idea of the accidental garden also means that I don't have to do very much work myself. Visiting Richard at home, the garden does look as though it's been abandoned, but touring it with his expert eye and a ponderous step, there are all sorts of features to spot and stories to hear, many of which he has written about in The Accidental Garden. The book isn't an instruction manual, he says. This is just my own story, and it's full of contradictions and me changing my mind. It's not an ideology, just an investigation of what happens. He's been writing about his journey exploring our relationship with nature since first being published in 1974. Among more than 30 books are seminal works, Food for Free, Flora Britannica, biographies of Gilbert White and Flora Thompson, and Nature Cure, his memoir of his battle with depression and his liberating move to East Anglia. And still, he says he is completely dumbstruck by curiosity. There is something extraordinary happening all around us, he says, and recalls an essay he wrote about discovering an entire ecosystem in a tiny diseased leaf of a cherry tree. I think curiosity, attentiveness and respect are key. I don't sign up for nature being restorative and calming. I think the opposite. If you switch your attention away from yourself and really attend. He urges us to learn different identities of birds and recognise individual species and how they live. Blanket words like biodiversity can lead to great problems if you don't consider that it's made up of millions upon millions of extraordinary creatures and organisms. You'll lose perspective on how it's all connected. I'd like anyone who reads my book to be filled with a certain degree of hopefulness that nature is not a feeble victim, as it's frequently portrayed. It is in trouble. But it's got a great deal of independence and vigour of its own. I'm trying to say that when it's left alone, exciting things happen. The Accidental Garden is published by Profile Books and is priced at £12.99.